车都给摸过。
When the appointment is, I know it's Crowns now for a cleaning, but I'm gonna have to find out. Oh well, they'll send ticks. Happens when you get old, eh?
Tell Siri to do it for me. I just say, "Hey Siri, remind me to," and when, and she does all the work. I don't have to remember.
Yeah, I haven't used it for that. I use it for. If we're watering the grass, I tell her to set an alarm. That way I don't have to set it. Because when you don't have a watering system that's built in out there, we just set up the sprayers. You forget about them. And that can get costly. But so far this year, we've only had to water a couple of times. I guess it's pretty imminent. We should get some rain this afternoon, Dave.
For quite a few days there, and I could see some yellow coming through. So I said, well, they've been saying it's going to rain, but it hasn't been raining, so I went ahead and turned it on yesterday. It's been on ever since, so now it'll stay on until I see signs of rain, regardless of what they predict. And when I see signs of rain, that's when I'll turn it back off.
Days ago, oh, I'd say 3 days, Dave. We got 9,400s here. You didn't get any then?
No, I haven't had any in quite a while. It was, I let it dry out before I cut it. So, and I cut it probably last Thursday, I'm thinking. Today's Wednesday. Yeah, so a week ago. And it had been cut off for a couple of days. And they kept predicting rain. And I never got any. So finally, yesterday, I said, okay, we're not getting any. I'm just turning it on. I turned it on.
Oh, the Life's Good stove over here just said it's up to temperature, didn't it, Bernice? Oh, is that the dishwasher? They play tunes to us to confuse us old people. Bernice just brought me a bowl of banana pudding. Well, the plan of the day is we went out and worked in the yard all morning. Bernice more than I did. She picked strawberries and raspberries, and I watered the tomatoes and washed the chickens' little cups out on their waters and a few things like that. And now we just packaged up some peaches from the peach farm, and we're going to send them to Boston this afternoon via FedEx. The nephew that's a medical scientist up there, he loves South Carolina peaches.
Used to get them to send lobster down here from up there, but never sent peaches from up down here or up there. I always had the produce coming in the opposite direction. I'm headed over there to do my stress test. You ever had a stress test?
Many of them. Dave, are you doing? You're able to walk. See, I got that screws in my foot, and I can't do it. So you're not doing a chemical one. You're doing a regular one.
Two things, an electrocardiogram, I think is one of them, and a stress test is another one. And I think I remember asking him if you put iodine in your blood vessels before they did that, and I think they said yes.
Hey, 40 JC.
Good afternoon, Jerry. Yeah, they put something in there probably. I can't remember, Dave, but it's quite a workout. I've done those before. It's well worthwhile, and the EKGs are walk in the park, of course. That'll take you about a minute or two. They do that so fast. Well, the one that I really knew something serious was going on, I had in Kansas many years ago, like about 2010 or 2012. I'm not 2010, and I went in and I told that doctor something was wrong. Anyway, she scheduled me for a treadmill. And he put me on. I said, I can't do that. And he said, oh, yeah, you got to try. I lasted 40 seconds, and that EKG thing over there with the styluses on it went nuts. And then he stopped. stopped it because I told him, I said, I'm going to pass out. And 40 seconds later, he shut it off. I said, well, what'd you see? He said, well, you had an event. Then they started taking me seriously. But you know what? The doctors down here are exponentially better. They called him Dr. Death, I'm sorry to say. But he did save my life a few times. Go ahead, Jerry. N4DJC and 0TR.
Hey, Dave. Good afternoon, Tom. Dave, I had they call it a nuclear stress test is one I had. It's not the one like Tom does where they just, you know, artificially work your heart out. I had to get on the treadmill, and they did the... I'd already had an EKG, and they thought I had some type of, you know, arrhythmia. So I did the nuclear stress test here in Anderson, and it was just... they injected dye before, and then they waited a few little bit to get the dye in your veins and did the, did the nuclear scan. And then I went over there, just across the hall there and started the treadmill test. They want you to get up to, I forget, something, I think it's whatever your target heart rate is. Mine was 150. And I really wasn't out of breath. I could have kept going longer, but they said I met my target at 3 minutes. So, and they would incline, and they'd get you talking at the same time to, they just monitor it. So, it wasn't a big deal. Mine took about a total of about, I think the whole thing took about maybe an hour and a half for the before and after. But the actual stress test itself, too, it took more to get me wired up than it did for me to do it.
No, because, I usually do 30 minutes on the elliptical every day, every morning. After I have my coffee and halfway between my drinking one glass of Gatorade a day in the morning for the electrolytes. And so halfway between that and before my aspirin, my one aspirin a day, I do 30 minutes on the elliptical. So, and it's not easy, but I mean, I'm sweating a lot by the time to get to the end of it, but I can do that 30 minutes, no problem. And I watch my watch, and I see about a minute into it, I'm up to 112 beats per minute, and then it goes up to, it takes me a little while to get to 150, but I get to 150 every now and then. I think I've gone up as high as 178. And then it comes back down. Then I measure how long when 30 minutes is over, how long it takes to come back down to zero. And that, not zero, but less than 100, below 100. And then I do an ECG, which is like an EKG, but it's done with my watch. So I do a couple of those every day. But I'm just learning the ropes on those. This is all new to me. Until I went to Fort Myers at the beginning of this year, I didn't know any of this stuff. W4DJW.
And 0TR. It's a walk in the park, Dave. Nothing to worry about. And they really put their Mark II eyeball on you and have instruments on you at all times. And now that nuclear stress test, if they find something here, they might bring you back and do a nuclear test. And there's nothing to that either. You're just laying there. But they take a zillion images of your heart, and it's really interesting to watch them. You can see them. It's an open-type scanner. It's not real tight like MRI or CT or something. But I'll give you the tip of the day. If you're doing it, they tell you to lay there, and you about go to sleep. It lasts about 15 minutes, if I remember rightly. Do not take a deep breath. I guess I dozed off, and I always take deep breaths to see if it hurts or not, because I've had lung problems in years past, and so I always take a big deep breath. Well, then they got to do the whole thing over, and by that time, you're pretty fed up with laying there on that thing. So do not take a deep breath, and that's all I can tell you about the nuclear stress test, but it's very easy, but they do inject you with some stuff, probably radioactive iodine or something. But they gave me some coffee one time after it, and you're not supposed to have any coffee before that because it raised your blood pressure some. But I drank that coffee and it made me throw up. So I don't know if I'd recommend that or not right away. Just go home. But that's all I can tell you about that one. But and then they do the echocardiogram a lot of times, and They really do a thorough one down here. I couldn't be happier, Dave. They really do a good job. This is your old TR. Go ahead, Jerry.
I just I'd echo what Tom says. It's just it's a fairly simple test. And, you know, your target rate is generally a certain percentage. You know, it's based on age and your resting heart rate, I think, and they want you to get a certain percentage above your resting heart rate pH. They don't want you to, generally, if you're pretty active, you know, you'll reach 150, whatever the target rate, you'll reach it pretty fast, because what they'll do is they'll speed up the treadmill and increase the incline until you get there. And then, of course, they'll check you to make sure you're not out of breath and that sort of thing. So it's a pretty simple procedure. And it is pretty thorough, because I can definitely see a blockage that way as well if there's something major there. And, Tom, I wanted to thank you for recommending that NasoCort for me instead of the FloNase. That stuff is, along with some other spray antihistamine I've been taking, it made a huge difference in my allergy symptoms. Go ahead, Dave.
I hear that it's not going to take 30 minutes or something like that, because when I get to the end of the 30 minutes on the elliptical, I am drenched in sweat. I go right after that into the shower and get cleaned up. And I was thinking, that's going to be bad. That's going to get my leather seats in my car dirty, sweaty, all sweaty and smelly, and that stuff doesn't come out. Go ahead, Tom.
That's fine, Dave. And they raised that incline up pretty quick, if I remember right. But I got one screw in the back of my... If you come up 3/4 of an inch on the back of your foot and then angle it about a 45-degree up into your ankle, I got a 3.5-inch screw right there and 4 other screws in other places. And my foot is fused pretty much. I only got about 10 degrees left and right. That's why I kind of stumble now and then. People probably think I've been drinking, but I don't drink. But my right foot's all right, but that left one's a kind of a mess. But I did find a good pair of Brooks running shoes, and I just tried them on yesterday, and I left the foot brace off, and oh, man, they are great. It's hard to find a 13B as in Bravo. And Jerry, boy, that just tickles me to death. That worked out for you. That NasoCort is the best one, and that's what my doctor down the VA said, and she says, but we can't get it for you, Tom, because it's not formulary or whatever. I said, that's okay, I'll buy it, because I suffered many, many years with sinuses, and I guess now down here I got allergies, but I tried to give them to Bernice, but she's got everything else as far as allergies go, but that's about her only advice. Anyways, guys, I got to go. We're going to go out to FedEx and send these peaches off to Mike, and good to hear you, Dave and Jerry. I'll let Jerry pick it up and say 73. And good luck on that, Dave. And anything you want to know, just give me a phone call. And I've been through everything they got to offer, I think. Yeah, and 4DJC and 0TR is clear.
Have a good afternoon. Talk to you later on, probably. And Dave, I hope you do. Evidently, when do you have to have your stress test, by the way? Is it today or some other time?
Tom, you and Bernice, be careful out there on the road. And yet, Jerry, it's in just a little while. I'm supposed to be there at 1:30. Over there near the Red Cross building at Grove Road, near where our meeting is. It's just right down the road from that place. I'm headed over there now. It's from 1:30 till 3:30, so it's a 2-hour ordeal. I don't know. The first part is the electrocardiogram. The second part is the stress test.
Don't let them stress you out, Dave. W2T.
Stressy. Yeah, Dave, the majority of the time for the stress test is just waiting for the dye to get into your system and then, you know, going through it. I think, I forget, you may have to wait 45 minutes or something before they put you on the, where they did the first scan. And you're just laying on tape. It's more like an x-ray than anything. And don't breathe this time. Describe, don't breathe. I mean, just do exactly what they tell you to do, and then you have to wait a while longer, and then they'll put you on the machine, and you'll go through the machine, and then they'll take you over and go through the scan, and want you to wait, you know, afterwards to make sure you're okay, and they'll give you a soft drink, some crackers or something like that afterwards. But it's pretty easy deal. And the only thing they found will be is PVCs, it's like post-ventricular contractions, which are like, I've got a few extra beats. There's nothing they can do anything or even recommend you doing anything about. Go ahead, Rusty.
Stress tests are like, I've taken a few of those over the years, and the only thing they've determined for me is that I do have a leaky valve, and I've had it, they say that I've probably had it since I was born, so it's nothing new, it's not gotten any worse, and they, you know, keep an eye, my doctors all keep an eye on that, so we'll see what goes. Just thought I'd step in there and say hello and tell Dave not to be stressed by the test. Go ahead, Dave.
I think I'm just stressed because I have to take time out of my busy retired day to do something that really isn't benefiting the goals that I have for myself being in retirement, like working on my stepper motor drivers or working on my TDOA algorithm or something like that. That's the stress. It means I can't work on that stuff. I've got to do this annoying thing instead. Anyway, good to hear you, Rusty. Back to you, Jerry.
M4DJZW4DJW. Sometimes doctor's appointments, other things interrupt our retirement life. But I want to mention to you too, Dave, that the guy that makes hair antennas announced in Dayton that they're going to be building a portable azimuth elevation rotor system for satellite use, which is interesting. I'm curious to see how expensive it's going to be. It's going to be coming out sometime next year, I think. But if it's anything like his antennas, it ought to be a pretty neat setup. That'll take some of the pain out of people like myself that are not mechanically inclined to build one on their own.
Guys, because I'm going to go ahead and put lunch on the stove to warm up. Talk to you both later. W2T, go ahead, Dave.
Enjoy your dinner, or bon appetit, Rusty. Good to hear you. And these new stepper motor drivers, Jerry, are so much better than the ones I started with. The ones I started with were way underpowered, and these you can crank it up to 5 amps if you want to, and it'll, you know, even if it's not even turning anything at 5 amps, it'll draw that energy. So the stepper, they don't care whether there's a load or not. They draw the energy for what you dial in that they're capable of, and that determines how much force it takes to make them miss a step. And I've got them set right now at 64,000 steps for one complete revolution, and then I created this algorithm that makes it spin around 360 degrees, and it's constantly accelerating until it gets to 180 degrees, and then it constantly starts decelerating until it gets back around to where it started from, and then it does the same thing in the opposite direction. And it is so smooth. When you've got it broken down into 64,000 steps in a circle, you can't even tell it's stepping. It just looks like it's a really, really smooth ramp up and a really smooth ramp down, and it doesn't take it any time to do it because it, you can set the top end speed up at the 180 degree mark as high as you want it. It's zippy. The new stepper motor drivers makes a world of difference.
There's a club in New Zealand. I think it's New Zealand, Australia. That's set up like that for sales. You know, they built it. It was available as a kit, and they built it as a completed the package. I think it's under $400 US, I think, but they're way behind on delivering them. But a lot of times those things, they require PC control and that sort of thing. It'd be nice to have some. I'm not sure how Jim's going to handle it, but I'm not real sure if he's going to incorporate some other, like MacDoppler or something else to control the radio and controller, rotor control or not. He just gave a brief interview with somebody mentioned that's what he had going on. But you know, all those air antennas are pretty light, so I'm curious to see whether or not he's going to build one heavy enough for a bigger system than air, you know, than airs are. But if that's the case, then you're going to get into a lot more expense, I guess. And hopefully it keeps it fairly small and compact. And he said he's going off 12 Oaks DC as well, which, you know, is a good deal.
Recognizing Steve, I got a question for you on the price point on that, Jerry, just as soon as Steve gives it back. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, just wanted to say hey, and I know you'll do well with your test today. Give me a call, let me know how you did afterwards. And I ordered the motors for the Mixler and a couple more for the Bloody Wonders, 28, 26, 1400. And are we all set? They're supposed to be here tomorrow. And like I said, give me a call a little bit later on. You'll do well today. You'll do just fine. So, yeah, K&4, BWA, I'm clear.
Well, sounds good. I think that's the better choice of the motor rather than the one that's a little bit smaller, a little bit less power. Anyway, that sounds good. So, Jerry, what's the price point on that, the one that has both elevation and azimuth?
New Zealand is around $350, I think, and that includes everything set up, ready to go. It's got the controller and the whole nine yards. You just have to set up your whatever computer program you want to use to control both the radio and the rotor. Now, the one that Ara is talking about, there's been no price point discussed on it yet, and I'm hoping it keeps it reasonable enough for people like me that are, you know, for instance, in my case, where I just run a single Ara, and something light enough where I could do that and not have to lug a bunch of stuff around, because there are other situations set up for bigger antennas like the Leopac, MT Leopac is set up. Of course, then you're getting into maybe $1,500 to get it set up. So I'm hoping you get something around the $300 mark. At least that would be my price point.
Because my stepper motor drivers, I think, were about $60 a piece. So just the stepper motor drivers are half of that for the one that I've got. But I think, but I'm way oversized on the stepper motors themselves. They've got a lot of torque capability. It's really, really high. They're about 6 inches to 8 inches long. They're really long stepper motors. And the 23, NME 23, I think, is the size, the footprint. So they're pretty heavy duty. And if you can get the whole thing, the frame, the gears, the stepper motors, and all that, everything for $300, that's not bad at all.
Thinking on my part, but I'm sure it depends entirely on the load. You know, the amount of antenna load that you can have on it, you know, use on it. You know, some of the bigger ones, it may not handle some of the bigger setups. And I think that's the way he was going, because he's basically looking at the stuff that he builds himself, you know, using those antennas and, you know, the 436, you know, 145, 436, a dual batteries he uses has got the diplexer in it. Yeah, that's really lightweight. It wouldn't take much of a stepper motor at all to handle that one. That's what I see most people use on that one out of New Zealand. I'll have to get that, find their website, and send that link to you via email on QRZ. Because it's a pretty interesting setup, and it doesn't need to be real complex, but it would be definitely nice to be able to have the antenna outside. If you're sitting inside, even if it's just a temporary mount using a camera tripod, be able to, you know, get out of the cold weather, the real hot weather, and operate in 4DJC.
That link, because I'm sure his is much more compact than mine is. Something that would sit, you know, nice and tidy on top of a heavy-duty tripod mount would be a whole lot nicer. Mine's big. Mine's probably a foot square by about 3 feet high. But it'll whip around a pretty big antenna, too. It'll whip around a 10-element beam without any trouble whatsoever. And if you're in the way, it'll knock you upside the head and it'll hurt. So it's not like the little small ones. Anyway, Jerry, I'm about to turn in here to this, the place to do this test, so wish me luck. Hope I come out 2 hours later. Anyway, good talking to you. Appreciate all the info. N4DJC, W4DJW.
Good luck, Dave. Good talking to you. And the antenna link I've got is just the one that's built in New Zealand. The arrow one has not, nothing has been formalized on it yet as far as design or anything like that. But I will send you that one from New Zealand. That's the one that they've been selling for a while now. Anyway, good luck, and I'll talk to you later. 73, N4DJC.
AJC N0TRT.